بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لم يلد ولم يولد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الغر الميامين. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أما بعد، يقول الله في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ولقد أخذ الله ميثاق بني إسرائيل وبعثنا منهم 12 نقيبا. The first of our loud salawat in honor of Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second in honor of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib. The third with your loudest voices in honor of the Imam of our time, Imam Sahib al-Asr wal-Zaman. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. If I may request the brothers just to come as close to the front as they can for those coming in. Come as close to the front. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Even closer, closer. Respected scholars, brothers and sisters, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The discussion concerning why the Shia believe in 12 successors to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is a fundamental discussion in Islamic thought, and a discussion that requires a thorough analysis, for it is a discussion which affects each and every one of our lives, a discussion from which an extraordinary number of lessons may be learnt, and a fascinating number of examples may be derived, and indeed a discussion which has theological, spiritual, ethical, as well as legal repercussions which affect us in our life today. Many people in the Muslim world outside of the school of Ahlul Bayt have constantly asked, why is it that the Shia focus so much on the 12 Imams? As in, many ask the question that where is there the need to focus so much on these 12 successors to the Holy Prophet? In the eyes of many, there is no need to focus after the Prophet, for the Prophet is the end of the religion. As in, we know within the school of Ahlul Bayt and within the religion of Islam, our belief is firm that the final Prophet of God is, of course, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Many schools therefore come forward and ask, what is the need for this continuation of a belief in the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, of a belief in the 12 successors? Indeed, many have come forward and said that at the end of the day, if there are going to be people who are to be followed after the Prophet, they say that there are already 4 rightly guided caliphs. They say after the Prophet you have Abu Bakr. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الغر الميامين. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب، الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الغر الميامين. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب، الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أما بعد، يقول الله في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ولقد أخذ الله ميثاق بني إسرائيل وبعثنا منهم 12 نقيبا. The first of our loud salawat in honor of Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second in honor of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib. The third with your loudest voices in honor of the Imam of our time, Imam Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. If I may request the brothers just to come as close to the front as they can for those coming in. Come as close to the front. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Even closer, closer. Respected scholars, brothers and sisters, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The discussion concerning why the Shia believe in 12 successors to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is a fundamental discussion in Islamic thought, and a discussion that requires a thorough analysis, for it is a discussion which affects each and every one of our lives, a discussion from which an extraordinary number of lessons may be learnt, and a fascinating number of examples may be derived, and indeed a discussion which has theological, spiritual, ethical, as well as legal repercussions, which affect us in our life today. Many people in the Muslim world outside of the school of Ahlul Bayt have constantly asked, why is it that the Shia focus so much on the 12 Imams? As in, many ask the question that where is there the need to focus so much on these 12 successors to the Holy Prophet. In the eyes of many, there is no need to focus after the Prophet, for the Prophet is the end of the religion. As then we know within the school of Ahlul Bayt and within the religion of Islam, our belief is firm that the final Prophet of God is of course the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Many schools therefore come forward and ask, what is the need for this continuation of a belief in the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, of a belief in the 12 successors? Indeed, many have come forward and said that at the end of the day, if there are going to be people who are to be followed after the Prophet, they say that there are already four rightly guided caliphs. They say after the Prophet you have Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali, and therefore these are the personalities to be revered after the Holy Prophet has left this world. However, within the school of Ahlul Bayt, we know that a focus within the school is of course that after prophethood ended with the Holy Prophet, that in the same way he protected the revelation of the Quran, the Imams of Ahlul Bayt were those who protected the interpretation. And therefore within our belief that with the Prophet being the final Prophet, he is succeeded by Ali, who is then succeeded by Hassan and Hussein, all the way until you reach Imam al-Mahdi ajjalallah farajahu al-Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. However, there are certain people who have now emerged even within the school of Ahlul Bayt, who have come forward and asked a particular question, that this theory of the 12 Imams, is it a theory that was postulated in the time of Rasulullah, or is it a theory that came about in the 4th century, 300 odd years after Rasulullah died? You see, some people today have come forward and said, how do we know that after the 12 Imams have lived on the earth, someone could have made up a theory, looking back at history, by saying that there were 12 Imams who succeeded the Prophet. They come forward and they state that the Prophet himself never once said that there are 12 successors after me, that there will be 12 Khalifs after me, that there will be 12 Emirs after me, there will be 12, for example, Nuqaba after me. They say the Prophet himself ended the religion, and the moment the verse of the Quran was revealed, الْيَوْمُ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ, that was it. The religion was final. In other words, therefore, we have to answer these questions from both schools. From outside of the Shia, there are those who say, why do you focus so much on 12 successors? From within the Shia, there are those who say, how do we know that this isn't just a concept that was made after the Imam went into Ghaibah? When the Imam went into Ghaibah, then people started making theories that after the Prophet, there are 12 Imams, and they started to make up their own names who these Imams are. This discussion is a pivotal discussion. Why? Because this discussion takes us to one of the most important concepts which the Prophet himself spoke about in his lifetime. Let's dissect this issue of the 12 successors in a number of stages. Number one, does Allah appoint His leaders on earth, or does He leave it for mankind to choose their leaders? Number two, have there been certain families who Allah has said in the Quran, my leaders will come from those families? Number three, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took a covenant with the children of Israel, what does He mean when He says, وَبَعَثْنَا مِنْهُمْ اثْنَيْ عَشَرَ نَقِيبًا, we chose from them 12 chiefs. Number four, where in Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, where in the Musnad of Ahmad bin Hanbal, in the Sunan of Tirmidhi, and in the works of Tabarani, does the Prophet clearly state there will be 12 Khalifs after me? And who do our brothers in Ahlul Sunnah believe these 12 Khalifs are? Number five, what did Shaheed al-Sadr say about how we come to an understanding of these 12 Imams through an understanding of their followers and the freedom and the choice? And number six, what did Imam Zain al-Abidin say in his khutbah in Sham to make clear that Allah had granted us six and had given us excellence in seven? Let's dissect this and dissect this topic in complete depth. When we come to the issue of the 12 successors chosen by Allah, A fundamental question arises from the beginning. Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose His leaders on earth? Or are we allowed to choose our leaders within our communities? What do we mean? We mean that when it comes to the idea of the imams, the Shia put forward the concept that Allah appointed the imams of Ahlul Bayt. Certain schools came forward and said that no, that if you want to appoint a Khalifa, it is better that the whole community comes together and appoints this Khalifa. You ask them why? They said because in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the best way of appointing someone is through a surah. You say, what do you mean? They say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala named the whole surah in the Quran, surah. And the aim of this surah was to tell you that you people should sit together and you should consult with each other. And in your consultations, you should elect who the Khalifa is. You say to them, where is the word shura mentioned in the Quran? They say the word shura is mentioned in the Quran, not only in the surah of shura, but also in surah 3 verse 159. When the Quran said, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. You find the word shura is mentioned in the Quran on two occasions. The first occasion that the word shura is mentioned within the Quran, when the Quran says, وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ. And their affairs are in a shura amongst them. This verse wasn't revealed about choosing a leader for Islam. This verse, all scholars say, was revealed where Allah praised the Muslims because the Muslims used to exchange opinions amongst each other in the early days in Medina. You see, what happened was in the early days in Medina, you had Muhajirun who had left Mecca to come to Medina. They were called the migrants. The people of Medina were the helping them. They were called the Ansar. So you had the Muhajirun from Mecca and the Ansar from Medina. These Muhajirun and Ansar used to come together. Amongst the houses, they would come to the house of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. They would come in his house. They'd consult with each other. They'd discuss the affairs of the Ummah with each other. The Quran came forward and praised them and said, what? Amruhum shura bainahum. That these people are doing a good thing. They are coming together. They are discussing the affairs of the Muslims together. It's not just one person who's dictating everything. No. They are doing a good job in learning of each other's opinions. This verse has nothing to do with choosing a leader on earth. This verse simply states that when you're a community, all of you should have a shura where you consult one another. For example, today in Nairobi, if you have a community in Nairobi, that community in Nairobi shouldn't be a case of one person making decisions for the whole community. No, it should be a case that the people sit with each other, exchange opinions, share their thoughts, in order that they understand the way forward. Someone says, okay, how about the other verse, Surah 3 verse 159? It tells the Prophet, شَاوَرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Consult them in your affairs. Again, look at the reasons of the revelation of this verse. It has nothing to do with the Prophet appointing a leader or Allah appointing a leader. The verse was revealed after the battle of Uhud. Rasulullah had asked for his companions' opinions in the battle of Uhud. His companions went for a particular opinion that went wrong. Rasulullah was disappointed that their opinion he took and it went wrong. Allah said to him, no. Forgive them and continue to consult them. There is no harm in consultation. Because a great leader in the affairs, such as going to the battlefield, will consult his opinions with the companions around him. Therefore, one school came forward and said what? That the way you choose a leader on earth should be how? Should be by allowing the community to choose on the basis of their theory of the shura. The school of the Shia differs with this opinion. What do the Shia say? The Shia say from the beginning of the existence of the human being until the time of the Prophet, Allah and only Allah chose his leaders on earth. What do we mean? We mean that we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has authority in two spheres. He has authority in creation and he has authority in legislation. Allah creates what He wants to create, and Allah chooses who He wants to look after His legislation. Surah 28, verse 68, explains this beautifully. You know what the verse says? رَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ Allah creates who He wants and He chooses. The choosing is not with them. This verse is outright. What is Allah saying in this verse? As it's vital for all of you in your debates to use this verse when someone comes to you and says that the Muslims choose in an election who should be the successor of Rasulullah. You say, hold on. Surah 28, verse 68. Allah says what? I create who I want and I choose who I want. It is not for any of you to choose. The choosing is with me. That's why from the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never allowed any of the communities to choose His prophets. He would always be the one who chose His prophets on earth. Why? If I allow the community to choose, the community will not choose sincerely. The community will choose those people who look after their interests. The community will choose those people who look after their selfish desires. The community will choose their best friends to become leaders. The community will choose the ones who look after their visions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would never allow the community to choose His prophets. Why? The community will never choose the best. The community will end up choosing someone who suits their aims and aspirations. That's why from the beginning when Adam was sent on earth, did Allah say to the creation, you choose my Khalifa? No. The Quran in chapter 2 verse 30 said what? وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً Allah said to the angels, I am sending a Khalifa. No one chooses my Khalifas for me. I am choosing a Khalifa. They replied, قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيُسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ I know that which you do not know. I'm the one who chooses my Khalifa on earth. When Allah chose Dawood, did Allah say, you people make an election and see who should be the prophet? Or did He say, يَا دَاوُودَ إِنَّا جَعَلْنَاكَ خَلِيفَةً فِي الْأَرْضِ Oh Dawood, we have chosen you as our Khalifa on the earth. Allah chooses Adam. Allah chooses Dawood. Even if Allah wants to choose a king for the people, not a prophet, when He wants to choose a wasi or a king for the people, even then Allah chooses. He doesn't let the people choose. He doesn't let an election happen. He chooses. Where? Surah 2, verse 247, in the famous story of David and Goliath. Who was the king of the people at the time? The king was called Talut. The Quran said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَىٰ عَلَيْكُمْ وَزَادَهُ بَسْطَةً فِي الْعِلْمِ وَالْجِسْمِ And Allah gives His mulk to whoever He wants. Notice, Talut is not a prophet. Prophet Dawood fought Goliath. Talut is a king. The children of Israel said, who should be our king? It should be someone wealthy. Allah replied, no, I have chosen Talut for you. Adam, chosen by Allah. Dawood, chosen by Allah. Talut, chosen by Allah. You find further than that, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. In the Quran, how many of you have read the verse, Surah 2 verse 24? قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا I am appointing you an imam. Notice the word, please, and focus. I am appointing you an imam for mankind. قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ Did he say, go and make an election to see who should be my imam? No. قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا Nabi Ibrahim answers something beautiful, which gives you a very big hint about an important issue. When Allah says, I am appointing Ibrahim as my imam, Nabi Ibrahim replies to him, وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي He replies to him, how about my offspring, Ya Allah? You've made me an imam. How about my offspring? I have sons. Will imama continue in my offspring, Ya Allah? Allah replied to him something beautiful. قَالَ لَا يَنَالُ أَحْدِيَ الظَّالِمِينَ My covenant of imama will not reach the zalameen of your offspring. Which means what? which means imama will continue in your offspring, but not to a zalim. If there is someone from the line of Ibrahim who's a zalim, we will not give him imama. The person from the line of Ibrahim, if he's an adil, we'll give him imama. And that's why you find something of the utmost importance here. Sometimes people come and say to us, you know your 12 imams? This is a monarchy. This is inherited monarchy, giving it to one family. Hold on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself in the Quran, in Surah 3 verse 33 and verse 34 says what? إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى آدَمَ وَنُوحَ وَآلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَآلَ عِمْرَانَ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ ذُرِّيَّةً بَعْضُهَا مِنْ بَعْضٍ. If you're saying that my imams are a monarchy, Allah in the Quran says there are certain families I keep leadership in. Allah chose Adam and Nuh and Al Ibrahim and Al Imran, one progeny after another, one generation after another. Notice here, what does Allah show us from the outset in the school of Ahlul Bayt? That the leaders on earth are chosen by Allah, not in an election, number one. And then number two, those leaders may sometimes belong to a particular family. When Allah chose Al Ibrahim, someone could have turned around and said, Ya Allah, why are you putting Nubuwa in Al Ibrahim? Why are you making it a monarchy? No, I know where best to put my message. I know who can contain my message. When I say I have chosen Al Ibrahim, it's because I know from the line of Ibrahim, there are certain personalities who are able to contain my message. That's why you find, if you look at the line of Ibrahim, Ibrahim had two sons, Ismail and Ishaq. Ismail, his line goes all the way to the Prophet. The Prophet, it goes all the way to who? Abdullah and Abu Talib. Abdullah has Muhammad. Abu Talib has Ali. Muhammad has Fatima. Fatima marries Ali. That line of imama has continued all the way. In other words, what do you find? That line of Ibrahim has continued. That when Allah said, we have chosen Al Ibrahim, one generation after another, He said, I have made Ibrahim an imam for mankind. And that Ibrahim continues as imama. That's why our Sunni brothers in their tashahud, what do they say? Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad kama sallaita wa barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. In other words, those who come and say that Muhammad and Al Muhammad is all a monarchy, we say, hold on. Allah told Ibrahim, number one, I'll choose you. Number two, I'll make imams from your progeny. Number three, those imams, I have chosen them to look after this covenant.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الغر الميامين. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أما بعد، يقول الله في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ولقد أخذ الله ميثاق بني إسرائيل وبعثنا منهم 12 نقيبا. The first of our loud salawat in honor of Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The second in honor of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib. The third with your loudest voices in honor of the Imam of our time, Imam Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. If I may request the brothers just to come as close to the front as they can for those coming in. Come as close to the front. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Even closer. Respected scholars, brothers and sisters, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The discussion concerning why the Shia believe in 12 successors to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is the fundamental discussion in Islamic thought, and a discussion that requires a thorough analysis, for it is a discussion which affects each and every one of our lives. A discussion from which an extraordinary number of lessons may be learnt, and a fascinating number of examples may be derived. And indeed a discussion which has theological, spiritual, ethical, as well as legal repercussions, which affect us in our life today. Many people in the Muslim world outside of the school of Ahlul Bayt have constantly asked, why is it that the Shia focus so much on the 12 Imams? As in many ask the question, that where is there the need to focus so much on these 12 successors to the Holy Prophet? In the eyes of many, there is no need to focus after the Prophet, for the Prophet is the end of the religion. As in we know within the school of Ahlul Bayt and within the religion of Islam, our belief is firm that the final Prophet of God is of course the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Many schools therefore come forward and ask, what is the need for this continuation of a belief in the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, of a belief in the 12 successors? Indeed, many have come forward and said that at the end of the day, if there are going to be people who are to be followed after the Prophet, they say that there are already 4 rightly guided caliphs. They say after the Prophet you have Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali, and therefore these are the personalities to be revered after the Holy Prophet has left this world. However, within the school of Ahlul Bayt, we know that a focus within the school is of course that after prophethood ended with the Holy Prophet, that in the same way he protected the revelation of the Qur'an, the Imams of Ahlul Bayt were those who protected the interpretation. And therefore within our belief that with the Prophet being the final Prophet, he is succeeded by Ali, who is then succeeded by Hassan and Hussein, all the way until you reach Imam al-Mahdi ajjalallah farajahu al-Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. However, there are certain people who have now emerged even within the school of Ahlul Bayt, who have come forward and asked a particular question, that this theory of the 12 Imams, is it a theory that was postulated in the time of Rasulullah, or is it a theory that came about in the 4th century, 300 odd years after Rasulullah died? You see, some people today have come forward and said, how do we know that after the 12 Imams have lived on the earth, someone could have made up a theory, looking back at history, by saying that there were 12 Imams who succeeded the Prophet. They come forward and they say that the Prophet himself never once said that there are 12 successors after me, that there will be 12 Khalifs after me, that there will be 12 Emirs after me, there will be 12, for example, Nuqaba after me. They say the Prophet himself ended the religion, and the moment the verse of the Qur'an was revealed, أَلْيَوْمُ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ, that was it. The religion was final. In other words, therefore, we have to answer these questions from both schools. From outside of the Shia, there are those who say, why do you focus so much on 12 successors? From within the Shia, there are those who say, how do we know that this isn't just a concept that was made after the Imam went into Ghaiba? When the Imam went into Ghaiba, then people started making theories that after the Prophet, there are 12 Imams, and they started to make up their own names who these Imams are. This discussion is a pivotal discussion. Why? Because this discussion takes us to one of the most important concepts which the Prophet himself spoke about in his lifetime. Let's dissect this issue of the 12 successors in a number of stages. Number one, does Allah appoint His leaders on earth, or does He leave it for mankind to choose their leaders? Number two, have there been certain families who Allah has said in the Quran, my leaders will come from those families? Number three, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took a covenant with the children of Israel, what does He mean when He says, وَبَعَثْنَا مِنْهُمْ اثْنَيْ عَشَرَ نَقِيبًا, we chose from them 12 chiefs. Number four, where in Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, where in the Musnad of Ahmad bin Hanbal, in the Sunan of Tirmidhi, and in the works of Tabarani, does the Prophet clearly state there will be 12 khalifs after me? And who do our brothers in Ahl Sunnah believe these 12 khalifs are? Number five, what did Shaheed al-Sadr say about how we come to an understanding of these 12 imams through an understanding of their followers and the freedom and the choice? And number six, what did Imam Zain al-Abideen say in his khutbah in Sham to make clear that Allah had granted us six and had given us excellence in seven? Let's dissect this and dissect this topic in complete depth. When we come to the issue of the 12 successors chosen by Allah, a fundamental question arises from the beginning. Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose His leaders on earth, or are we allowed to choose our leaders within our communities? What do we mean? We mean that when it comes to the idea of the imams, the Shia put forward the concept that Allah appointed the imams of Ahlul Bayt. Certain schools came forward and said that no, that if you want to appoint a Khalifa, it is better that the whole community comes together and appoints this Khalifa. You ask them why? They said because in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the best way of appointing someone is through a shura. Say, what do you mean? They say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala named the whole surah in the Quran shura. And the aim of this surah was to tell you that you people should sit together and you should consult with each other. And in your consultations, you should elect who the Khalifa is. You say to them, where is the word shura mentioned in the Quran? They say the word shura is mentioned in the Quran, not only in the surah of shura, but also in surah 3 verse 159. When the Quran said, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْآمْرِ, you find the word shura is mentioned in the Quran on two occasions. The first occasion that the word shura is mentioned within the Quran, when the Quran says, وَأَمْرُهُمْ shura بَيْنَهُمْ, and their affairs are in a shura amongst them. This verse wasn't revealed about choosing a leader for Islam. This verse, all scholars say, was revealed where Allah praised the Muslims because the Muslims used to exchange opinions amongst each other in the early days in Medina. You see, what happened was, in the early days in Medina, you had Muhajirun who had left Mecca to come to Medina. They were called the migrants. The people of Medina were the helping them. They were called the Ansar. So you had the Muhajirun from Mecca and the Ansar from Medina. These Muhajirun and Ansar used to come together. Amongst the houses, they would come to the house of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. They would come in his house, they'd consult with each other, they'd discuss the affairs of the Ummah with each other. The Quran came forward and praised them and said what? Amruhum shura baynahum, that these people are doing a good thing. They are coming together, they are discussing the affairs of the Muslims together. It's not just one person who's dictating everything, no. They are doing a good job in learning of each other's opinions. This verse has nothing to do with choosing a leader on earth. This verse simply states that when you are a community, all of you should have a shura where you consult one another. For example, today in Nairobi, if you have a community in Nairobi, that community in Nairobi shouldn't be a case of one person making decisions for the whole community. No. It should be a case that the people sit with each other, exchange opinions, share their thoughts, in order that they understand the way forward. So Someone says, okay, how about the other verse, Surah 3 verse 159? It tells the Prophet, shawarhum fil amr, consult them in your affairs. Again, look at the reasons of the revelation of this verse. It has nothing to do with the Prophet appointing a leader or Allah appointing a leader. The verse was revealed after the battle of Uhud. Rasulullah had asked for his companions' opinions in the battle of Uhud. His companions went for a particular opinion that went wrong. Rasulullah was disappointed that their opinion he took and it went wrong. Allah said to him, no, forgive them and continue to consult them. There is no harm in consultation. Because a great leader in the affairs, such as going to the battlefield, will consult his opinions with the companions around him. Therefore, one school came forward and said what? That the way you choose a leader on earth should be how? Should be by allowing the community to choose on the basis of their theory of the Shura. The school of the Shia differs with this opinion. What do the Shia say? The Shia say from the beginning of the existence of the human being until the time of the Prophet, Allah and only Allah chose his leaders on earth. What do we mean? We mean that we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has authority in two spheres. He has authority in creation and he has authority in legislation. Allah creates what he wants to create and Allah chooses who he wants to look after his legislation. Surah 28 verse 68 explains this beautifully. You know what the verse says? رَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ Allah creates who he wants and he chooses. The choosing is not with them. This verse is outright. What is Allah saying in this verse? As it's vital for all of you in your debates to use this verse when someone comes to you and says that the Muslims choose in an election who should be the successor of Rasulullah. You say, hold on. Surah 28, verse 68. Allah says what? I create who I want and I choose who I want. It is not for any of you to choose. The choosing is with me. That's why from the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never allowed any of the communities to choose his prophets. He would always be the one who chose his prophets on earth. Why? If I allow the community to choose, the community will not choose sincerely. The community will choose those people who look after their interests. The community will choose those people who look after their selfish desires. The community will choose their best friends to become leaders. The community will choose the ones who look after their visions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would never allow the community to choose his prophets. Why? The community will never choose the best. The community will end up choosing someone who suits their aims and aspirations. That's why from the beginning when Adam was sent on earth, did Allah say to the creation, you choose my Khalifa? No. The Quran in chapter 2 verse 30 said what? وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً Allah said to the angels, I am sending a Khalifa. No one chooses my Khalifas for me. I am choosing a Khalifa. They replied, قَالُ وَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيُسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ I know that which you do not know. I'm the one who chooses my Khalifa on earth. When Allah chose Dawood, did Allah say, you people make an election and see who should be the Prophet? Or did he say, يَا دَاوُودَ إِنَّا جَعَلْنَاكَ خَلِيفَةً فِي الْأَرْضِ O Dawood, we have chosen you as our Khalifa on the earth. Allah chooses Adam. Allah chooses Dawood. Even if Allah wants to choose a king for the people, not a prophet, when he wants to choose a wasi or a king for the people, even then Allah chooses. He doesn't let the people choose. He doesn't let an election happen. He chooses. Where? Surah 2, verse 247, in the famous story of David and Goliath, who was the king of the people at the time? The king was called Talut. The Quran said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاهُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَزَادَهُ بَسْطَةً فِي الْعِلْمِ وَالْجِسْمِ And Allah gives his mulk to whoever he wants. Notice, Talut is not a prophet. Prophet Dawood fought Goliath. Talut is a king. The children of Israel said, who should be our king? It should be someone wealthy. Allah replied, no, I have chosen Talut for you. Adam, chosen by Allah. Dawood, chosen by Allah. Talut, chosen by Allah. You find further than that, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. In the Quran, how many of you have read the verse, Surah 2, verse 24? قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. I am appointing you an imam. Notice the word, please, and focus. I am appointing you an imam for mankind. قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ. Did he say, go and make an election to see who should be my imam? No. قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. Nabi Ibrahim answers something beautiful, which gives you a very big hint about an important issue. When Allah says, I am appointing Ibrahim as my imam, Nabi Ibrahim replies to him, وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي. He replies to him, how about my offspring, Ya Allah? You've made me an imam. How about my offspring? I have sons. Will imama continue in my offspring, Ya Allah? Allah replied to him something beautiful. قَالَ لَا يَنَالُ أَحْدِيَ الظَّالِمِينَ. My covenant of imama will not reach the zalimeen of your offspring. Which means what? Which means imama will continue in your offspring, but not to a zalim. If there is someone from the line of Ibrahim who's a zalim, we will not give him imama. The person from the line of Ibrahim, if he's an adil, we'll give him imama. And that's why you find something of the utmost importance here. Sometimes people come and say to us, you know your 12 imams? This is a monarchy. This is inherited monarchy, giving it to one family. Hold on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself in the Quran, in Surah 3 verse 33 and verse 34 says what? إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى آدَمَ وَنُوحَ وَآلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَآلَ عِمْرَانَ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ ذُرِّيَّةً بَعْضُهَا مِنْ بَعْضٍ. You're saying that my imams are a monarchy. Allah in the Quran says there are certain families I keep leadership in. Allah chose Adam and Nuh and Al Ibrahim and Al Imran, one progeny after another, one generation after another. Notice here, what does Allah show us from the outset in the school of Ahlul Bayt? That the leaders on earth are chosen by Allah, not in an election, number one. And then number two, those leaders may sometimes belong to a particular family. When Allah chose Al Ibrahim, someone could have turned around and said, Ya Allah, why are you putting Nubuwa in Al Ibrahim? Why are you making it a monarchy? No, I know where best to put my message. I know who can contain my message. When I say I have chosen Al Ibrahim, it's because I know from the line of Ibrahim, there are certain personalities who are able to contain my message. That's why you find, if you look at the line of Ibrahim, Ibrahim had two sons, Ismail and Ishaq. Ismail, his line goes all the way to the Prophet. The Prophet, it goes all the way to who? Abdullah and Abu Talib. Abdullah has Muhammad. Abu Talib has Ali. Muhammad has Fatima. Fatima marries Ali. That line of imama has continued all the way. In other words, what do you find? That line of Ibrahim has continued. That when Allah said, we have chosen Al Ibrahim, one generation after another. And he said, I have made Ibrahim an imam for mankind. And that Ibrahim continues as imama. That's why our Sunni brothers in their tashahud, what do they say? Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad. Kama sallayta wa barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. In other words, those who come and say that Muhammad and Al Muhammad is all a monarchy, we say, hold on. Allah told Ibrahim, number one, I'll choose you. Number two, I'll make imams from your progeny. Number three, those imams, I have chosen them to look after this covenant. In other words, from the outset, what do we see? That when we come to the concept of the 12 successors, we recognize on the first level, Allah chooses his leaders on earth. And on the second level, that these leaders are from a particular progeny. That's why the verse I've chosen at the beginning of the lecture, takes an interesting point on this area. Not only does Allah choose His prophets, He also chooses the successors of His prophets or the awsiya. When Allah chooses a prophet, He also chooses who? The representatives of that prophet. When a prophet comes with a revelation, Allah doesn't just choose the prophet, He also announces who are the successors to that prophet. Not only does He announce them, He gives them the number 12. Surah 5 verse 12. وَلَقَدْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ وَبَعَثْنَا مِنْهُمْ إِثْنَيْ عَشَرَ نَقِيبًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a covenant with the children of Israel, and He chose from them 12 chiefs. Someone asks, what is the meaning of this? Allah chose the prophet Musa as a prophet for the children of Israel, didn't He? And Allah made a covenant with the children of Israel that they look after the message of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. They honor his message. They protect his message. Whatever of the laws the Torah has given them, they are meant to protect. They are meant to look after. They are meant to follow. As in a misaq, what is it? A misaq is a covenant between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Either a covenant before we came to the earth, or a covenant while we are on the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran said what? Allah made a covenant with the children of Israel. And from that covenant, He chose 12 chiefs to represent Musa. Nabi Musa alayhi salam, when he came with the message of the Torah, Nabi Musa came with the message, gave it to the people. Allah knew that when Musa dies, some people are going to try and corrupt this message, aren't they? When Musa dies, there are people who would have made a covenant with Musa. But as soon as Musa leaves the earth, there are people who are going to try and destroy this message. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we took a covenant from the children of Israel, and then we chose 12 to look after Musa's message. How many did Allah choose? How many? The Quran says how many? Surah 5 verse 12, Nabi Musa alayhi salam, Allah said,